Good to be with you again. As we go through these parenting pitfalls, most of them will have a tie-in from a verse from Proverbs. We'll also be looking at some other scriptures as well, but there's just so much practical instruction from the book of Proverbs, and there's some very helpful things in there. The first time I ever was asked to speak on this subject was just up the road a little bit. I was 21, and I was to teach class up at Somerville Road. I wasn't married, rode my motorcycle up there, and I used some of the same points and some of the same scriptures that we'll be looking at. Since then, as I mentioned, we were blessed with six children, and at one point, when Luke was a baby, I had a newborn, a four-year-old, an eight-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 20-year-old. So at that time, whatever age child somebody had, I had one of those. They're getting older now, but I still really enjoy talking with people about these principles. And whether you have children or not, these principles are here. And so if we'll listen to those principles, it helps us. And I encourage the young people to be thinking about this, because while you're single, one of the things that you can do is choose, what kind of a marriage do I want to have? What kind of children do I want to have? And if you're blessed with finding a spouse and blessed with children, then you've already got a game plan as to where you're going to go. You will make some mistakes in your marriage and while you're parenting. And one thing we do when we make mistakes is we need to correct those mistakes, apologize for those mistakes, and get up and move along. As we go through here, please don't think that I'm saying I haven't made any of these mistakes. Some of these mistakes I've seen other people make. Some of these mistakes I've seen myself make. But the thing about mistakes is we don't want to keep doing them. We want to learn from them. One of our texts we'll be using a lot is, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Last night we looked at mistake number one of failing to discipline. We'll just read those verses real quickly again. He who spares the rod hates his son. He who loves him disciplines him diligently. Discipline your son while there is hope. Do not desire his death. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. The rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with a rod, he will not die. We'll also be talking about tonight, that's not the only way to discipline. It's an important part of discipline. Not everything needs to be handled with a spanking. We can talk more about that some later, but it's an important part. The rod and reproof bring wisdom. A child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. Correct your son. He will give you comfort and delight your soul. All you have to do is walk around in public for a while, and you'll see a lot of people are not doing this. And they don't understand why they have the problems that they do, and if you look at the word, you see why they have the problem. Number two, we talked about rewarding misbehavior. Don't do that. Child throws a tantrum to get their way. Never, ever let them get what they wanted. And one of you told me last night about a situation. I can't remember now if it was a daughter telling me about her mother or a mother about the daughter. I think it was a daughter about the mother. And the little girl didn't get her way. She decided to throw a fit, lay down on the floor and threw a tantrum. Mom got down on the floor beside her, started doing the same thing, and the child said, "What are you doing?" And the mom said, "What are you doing?" And there's something there. Sometimes when a child's throwing a tantrum, you need to spank them. Sometimes you can get their attention just by showing them how silly what they're doing is and disempower it. I had a friend call me this afternoon from out west, and good family, and they're trying to deal with the child, but she's just really, really, really stubborn and just had a long episode and ended up having to spank too much. And sometimes, I reminded him, sometimes you can take a child that's pitching a fit, just walk in, look at the bathroom mirror, and let them see their face. And then I'll do the same thing with them. Wah! And it just disempowers it. And sometimes you can help them to see just how silly it is. You can film them. And then later, when they're calmed down, say, "Look at this," and say, "That's not going to get your way." Never let them get their way. Now, if they're just being disobedient, defiance and disobedience need spanking. Spilling something, having an accident, being careless, that doesn't need a spanking. Disobedience needs it, and there's some other tools you can use sometimes, but don't reward misbehavior. The child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. So, beginning now with the points we'll pick up on tonight after that reintro, the mistake of expecting misbehavior. We're not talking about wanting misbehavior, hoping for misbehavior, or preferring misbehavior, but expecting misbehavior. And if you've got three or four kids and you expect this one will do his homework and you expect that one's not going to do it. If you expect that this one will speak respectfully and you expect that one's going to smart off, we've let our children train us instead of us train our children. Expectations. Do you remember the image of the old drill sergeant at the Marine boot camp? When the new recruits got off the bus, did he think that those new recruits could do military push-ups to his satisfaction, respond to his satisfaction, make a bed to his satisfaction? Did he think at the point they got off the bus they could do that, or that they were already doing that? No, he knew that he's going to have to shape them up. But why, after a few weeks, are they all going to be doing it? Because he expects it. So when you're raising children, it's not that, oh, I thought they would never disobey. Yes, sometimes they're going to disobey. But when you can't let their disobedience become what you expect, and you start lowering the bar, well, I thought he would do that. Now you're letting the child's misbehavior win, and it's training you to accept bad behavior instead of you training them to behave. So you end up saying things like, oh, we can't take him to a restaurant. There's no way Junior's going to sit still for an hour. Well, after all that sugar, he's going to be impossible. Oh, I'll never get him to eat that. Sorry, my son's not much of a sharer. Who hears all of those statements? That little guy hears all those statements. And his bad behavior is just now given a green light, and he's lost, but it may feel like he's won. He's trained you to expect him to act that way. But then you're losing, and he's losing. By the way, on that middle one there, sugar, I want to acknowledge that there are some people who, because of genetics or other things, there's certain foods that they are highly allergic to or that they react badly to, and a family and their doctor may realize this child needs to not have this food. I understand that. But in general, there is just way too much bad behavior blamed on sugar. Most everybody here has been to a child's birthday party. And at a child's birthday party, there's cake that has way too much icing, and Kool-Aid, and ice cream, just inordinate amounts of sugar. And the well-trained children at that birthday party, after running and playing and laughing and having a good time, when mom tells them, okay, you know, it's time for us to help clean up and we need to go, and let's help clean everything up, a well-trained child does what? Helps clean up. And when they say it's time to tell Mrs. Jones thank you for letting us come, what does a well-trained child do? And they may say, oh, you know, I'm sorry that it's over, but thank you for letting, you know, there might be a little disappointment, but they do what they're told to do, and they behave and they go. They had a lot of sugar. If tonight, on the way here, you stopped at the Shell station and you put some high-octane gas in your car, if you'd gotten out on 31 and laid some rubber down and went about 80 miles an hour and a trooper pulled you over, you don't get to say, well, after all that gasoline. Children still need to behave. And when we start blaming other things and just accepting, well, this one won't, you see how we're stopping doing our job? So don't expect misbehavior. Expect good behavior. And when the behavior is not right, let your expectation motivate the bringing the child up to right behavior instead of the wrong behavior training the parent to give up. Proverbs 22, verse 15, what does it say? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. The rod of discipline will drive it far from him. As a general rule, you will get what you expect. If you expect tantrums, you'll get them. If you expect dishonesty, you will get it. If you expect bad attitudes, you will get it. But if you really expect the opposite and require and train for the opposite, you will get the opposite. One of the harder spankings that my oldest got, and Danny and Mary will remember, we enjoyed spending a lot of time with them back when April was a little baby. And this was after we moved up to Rhode Island. And so she was, I don't know, maybe about two. And I looked at her little tennis shoe, and there was ink scribblings all over her tennis shoe. And I knew that when my children were little, I could tell if they were telling a lie. But I knew if I didn't train them to be honest, then I could face a situation that sometimes I faced, where there were parents and their teenager is telling them one thing, and how do you know what's true? So I wanted my children, when they were little, to learn, you do not lie. Now, some people think, and you've heard parents say this, oh, well, children are going to lie. So their little guy's lying, and they're, well, he's just a child. Yeah, he's just a child, but that's when you train them to tell the truth. So this is one of April's harder spankings. I look down, and her little tennis shoe has ink all over it, and I said, April, who did that to your shoe? And she said, a snake did it. And I said, April, a snake doesn't have hands to hold an ink pen. He held it in his mouth. And I said, holding back a laugh, I said, April, I said, that's not true. You told Daddy. And we talked about how serious that was, and she was never to do that. And then she got one of the harder spankings she got, because that was something I took very, very serious. Didn't have problems with April lying after that. Don't just automatically, when our children are misbehaving, don't think it's a phase and things. In fact, you know what? Well, we'll talk about that later. All right. Mistake number four, failing to be consistent. Guilty. If we're parents, there's been some times where we realized what? We took our eye off the goal a little bit, we relaxed a little bit, things seemed to be in control, and we just stopped being as consistent. And then what happens? It's kind of like your garden again. If you consistently weed your garden, what's your garden going to look like? And if you stop being consistent, what are you going to get? So, he who spares the rod hates his son. He who loves him disciplines him diligently. And that's going to include consistently. Somebody that exercises diligently, they exercise consistently. Somebody that prays diligently, they pray consistently. There was a child psychologist, and a lot of them don't know what they're talking about. One of them, I was doing this series one time in Maryland, and one of the ladies brought a visitor whose husband was one of these child experts. The government had sent him, you remember when there were all the school shootings? Her husband had been one of the guys that the federal government had sent out to help counsel after one of these school shootings. Now, he's supposed to be a child expert, and the sister in Christ said, they've got one child, and she's in total rebellion. You know, dressed all in black, was into the goth and death stuff, total rebellion to the father, and yet he's got some diploma. You know, don't listen to those people usually. But some of them are good, and this one was. This child psychologist said, children are like little gamblers. They will play the odds. If there is a chance that misbehavior will pay off, they'll tend to go for it. So what does that do when we're inconsistent? If I say, well, I usually punish him when he's bad. If I usually punish him when he smarts off it, is that going to stop it? No. It's just like the lottery. We have the lottery in Pennsylvania. And people, I asked one time at the gas station near me, what's the average person spend on lottery tickets? They said about $50 a week. Man, that's over $200 a month on lottery tickets. Now, here's a question. When that fella stand in front of me buys $50 worth of lottery tickets, now think about this. Does he think that with that $50 he's going to win? Some of you are thinking, yeah, otherwise he wouldn't do it. No, no. He does not think he's going to win. He's been doing this for years. I used to study with a fellow that every Friday he would take his complete pay and use it on scratch-offs. They don't think they're going to win this time, but they think if they keep doing it, sooner or later, it'll pay off. And little children can be like that. And so you know what? So I've asked people up there in Pennsylvania, what if Pennsylvania, this would stop people from buying lottery tickets? Because you can explain to somebody, do you understand the chances of you winning that $28 million is astronomical? Oh, I know. But there's still a chance. You know what would end lottery sales? Here's what would end lottery sales. If the state of Pennsylvania announced, we're not going to pay off any more lottery tickets. We'll still take the income, but we're not going to pay any more money ever by law. No more payments. Now how many people would be buying those tickets? What changed? It changed from it might work to it won't. And if Junior keeps misbehaving, he needs to learn that, oh, no, it's not that it might work. He needs to learn it won't. Think about parking. If you had a town with a historic area in it, like up in Boston, you know, some of those old streets from the 1600s, little narrow area, a lot of people want to go there, but you can't park your car there. If you park the car there, it's going to be, you know, towed away, and you're going to pay a lot of money. So I want you to imagine you've got a historic area right around here that everybody would like to park at, but nobody can. There's a no parking sign. Now, what if everybody in town and all the tourists and everybody else knew the system? That there was a meter made that policed that area, and this is what she would do. If you parked there where the sign said no parking, she wouldn't give you a ticket right away. Instead, within the first 10 minutes, she would give you a slip that said, please do not park here. And if you stayed there 10 more minutes, she'd give you one that said, we asked you not to park here. And if you stayed there for 10 more minutes, she said, I really mean it, do not park here. And if you're still there, don't make me tell you again. And then I'm going to start counting to 10. And if you stayed there for a full hour, you would get a ticket. What would that area look like? It'd be full of cars. With all of these slips of paper, right? Because everybody knows how it works. Well, when mom or dad is doing these things, guess who figures out how it works? I was doing this series one time in Nebraska, and a fellow in the audience told me about an episode in his family years ago. Mary Elizabeth was upstairs playing, and her aunt was watching her. Mary Elizabeth's mother said, Mary, come down here. And Mary just kept playing and ignored mom. And a few minutes later, Mary, get down here now. And Mary ignored her and just kept playing. Mary, get down here. She paid no attention. Then she used the middle name. Mary Elizabeth, get down here. And the aunt said, Mary, why don't you go? She said, she's going to call me 3 more times. So, when we're not consistent, who notices? So, be consistent. Mistake number 5, thinking I don't have time. One time my mom told me, well, I don't have time to correct every time they disobey. Oh, you don't have time to not correct them. It takes time to correct a child. You may be, oh, but we were going to go to soccer practice and he disobeyed right now. I can't deal with it now or we'd miss soccer practice. Miss soccer practice. You got a soul to train. The time that you spend training the child, it takes some time now, but like Hebrews 12 says, it reaps results later. But if you don't take the time now, it's going to be a constant burden on you later. How many moms, if the child came home from school and says, "Mom, I got lice," would say, "Well, I don't have time to deal with that right now." You know, we'll deal with that some other time, but not today. No, because we understand what? That problem is not going to get better with time. That problem is going to get worse. Similarly with discipline. Child training time is well-invested time, and it saves time. Hebrews 12, verse 11. All discipline, for the moment, seems not joyful, but sorrowful. Yet afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit. Again, he who spares a rod hates a son. He who loves him disciplines him diligently. Number six, failing to control self. What was the motivation of discipline in Proverbs 13? It didn't say he who is angry with his child disciplines him diligently. It says he who loves the child. That is the proper motivation. But if you've been a parent for very long, have any of your children ever made you angry? Yes. And if we lose control, how effective are we in getting the child into control? Not very effective. We may win the battle at the moment, but not be winning the heart of the child, because they can see real easily the difference between daddy loves me and daddy's training me. Mom loves me and mom's training me, and daddy's mad at me and he's taking it out on me. They can see that very easily. We have to control ourselves. The proper motivation is love. There is a difference between discipline and abuse. You have a lot of people in our culture today that act like you should never spank a child, and a lot of people mistakenly think it's illegal to spank a child. It's not. Sooner or later, if the people that would like to get control of things, they'll make it illegal, but they haven't gotten to do that yet. And so when the child services people come over, they'll have to admit, well, it's not illegal to spank your child, but you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. I remember being with a mom as somebody had called DSS on her, and the fella, and he kept trying to tell her, here's what you should do instead. And she kept saying, you look familiar. And after a while, she said, "Walmart. You're the cashier at Walmart." And he was quite disappointed that the different professional hat was there, and he wrapped up his business pretty quickly. And next time I was at Walmart, I said, "Hey, how you doing?" He didn't want to talk to me. But they do have to deal with people that abuse their children. And to some people, they think spanking a child is abuse. Make sure that you are not abusing your child, that you are disciplining your child. And if you need to discipline your child in public, make sure anybody watching, by the calmness and the love and everything else, can see a difference between that and what they think of as... Because some people were raised in a home where they were just beat by hostile parents. And so when they hear about spanking, that's what it reminds them of, and it's traumatic to them. Don't do that. But one time, one of these child experts was on TV. I was watching a program. I don't remember the name of the program, but it was a talk show with a male host and a female host, and they were interviewing the child expert. And he was explaining why you should never physically, strike a child. And the lady host, she said, "Well, I've got a 2-year-old, and if she starts to touch something sharp, or that she could hurt on or something, I'll take her little hand and I'll go, 'No, no.'" And the child expert went, "And it's important to know that that's wrong." And then a lady in the back stood up and she had a question. She said, "My problem is I yell and scream at my kids." And he laughed it off. He went, "Oh." He said, "I have a 4-year-old and I don't know, a 2-year-old. I yell at them too." Really? You know. And then you put it together. If you've got a 4-year-old and a 2- or 3-year-old and you think you can't do this, can you see why you might end up doing some yelling and screaming? I mean, that could, but he thought this is abuse and he thinks nothing of yelling and screaming at him. Which is more abusive to the child? Some discipline out of love or yelling and screaming at the child? Don't say things like this. "What's wrong with you? I don't know why you won't do right. I don't know what's wrong with you." Would you just tell that little 6-year-old guy? You've told him 2 things. You said he's defective and the adults don't know what it is. How motivating is that? That's a horrible thing to say to a child. Parenting can be frustrating. But it's not our job to take our frustration out on the child. When it gets challenging, it's our job as the adults, as the parents, to step up to the plate and think what that child needs to help them. Not to throw the problem in their face with a vindictive statement like that. "What's wrong with you? I don't know what's wrong with you." They need mom and dad to know. They don't know how to drive a car or cook supper. Mom and dad know how to do that. Mom and dad know how to do everything. And then you tell them, "You're messed up and we don't know how to fix it." How secure and hopeful is that? Is that not abusive? And watch out why we're disciplined. So for this illustration, we're going to imagine you have a vase in your house. And it belonged to your great-grandmother, and you took it down to Antiques Roadshow, and they said, "Oh, it's very rare, and it's signed, and it's worth $3,000. And it was your great-grandmother's. And so that's one of your prized possessions. Well, for this illustration, we're going to say that you don't previously have a rule in your house about no throwing a ball in the house. Probably some of you do. We've got one room where we allow ball throwing in the house, and sometimes we play football in it. Let me say this. It is not as important how many rules you have in your home as that the rules are followed. If you have a house and you've got 100 rules and they're followed, the kids learn how to follow rules. If you've got a house and there's 10 rules and they're followed, the kids learn how to follow rules. But if you've got 322 rules and sometimes or others, that's not going to work. For this illustration, we're going to say there was not a previous rule, okay? And so, well, I don't know if there's a Jaden here or not, but that's a popular name right now, so we're going to go with Jaden. So Jaden comes in, and he's got a ball, and he throws it off the wall, and he catches it. And Mom looks up and says, "Jaden, don't throw that ball in the house." Jaden looks at Mom and throws the ball and catches it. What do you do? You know what a lot of moms do? "Jaden, I told you not to throw that ball in the house. Jaden, stop throwing that. Did you hear me? Jaden, don't make me tell you again. Jaden, I mean it. You better say." Now let's rewind. He comes in, he throws the ball in the house. "Jaden, don't throw that ball in the house." He looks at you. I'm taking away the confusion here of whether or not he heard. Hits the corner of the mantle, bounces over here, hits your great-grandmother's vase, and shatters it to pieces. Now what does Mom do? Does she say, "Jaden, did you hear me? Jaden, don't make me tell you again. Jaden, you know, oh, no, no. No, Jaden's getting a beating. Jaden, And, oh man, mom is livid. I told you, snatches him up. Why? Why is Jaden getting a beating? Is Jaden getting a beating because mom loves Jaden? Jaden's getting a beating because mom's mad that her vase got broke. Is that loving discipline or is that abuse? Why are we doing that? Fact is, when there was nothing broken and she thinks it's not a big deal, yes, it was a big deal. Because he heard his mom tell him not to, and he defiantly did it anyway. Mom, something was already broken in that room. And it was something worth much more than $3,000. And it's something that you can fix. So that was the big deal. It shattered. She's not going to say it's no big deal then. Thing is, it was a big deal before. The first time he did it, when she said, don't do that, and he decided to do it, that was a big deal. Everything else needs to stop. And that needs to be addressed, and he needs to learn he cannot do that. And he needs to know that she loves him. And she is not going to let him turn out that way. And she's going to discipline him, and he's going to learn his lesson. Then she doesn't have to worry about the vase. But you know what? If you go back there, and dad comes in and says, Jaden, throw me the ball. And he throws the ball and it hits the vase. Should Jaden get a spanking? No. He didn't disobey. Is it sad that the vase got broken? Yeah, that's sad. But dad offered to play ball in the room. Dad might be in trouble. All right, so here we go. Calm, consistent, and in control. That's the type of discipline that works well. When we're not calm, that really changes how effective the discipline is, isn't it? It's not. When we're not consistent, it really messes it up. When we're not in control, it messes it up. Be calm, be consistent, be in control. Number 7. The mistake of training children to disrespect instructions given calmly. I'm going to repeat that again. The mistake of training children to disrespect instructions given calmly. Now, you might be thinking, why would anybody train their kids to do that? Well, here's how it works, okay? So, now let's say Jaden is... It isn't the best activity, but for this illustration, it's what he's doing. He's playing a video game. And he's sitting there, and mom knows he's got a test the next morning, and it's about bedtime, and he's playing away, and mom comes in there, she says, Jaden, you got a test in the morning, you need to get to bed. And Jaden, because he hadn't been trained very well, instead of saying yes, ma'am, and obeying, Jaden goes, okay, just a minute. A few minutes later, she comes, Jaden, I mean it, you've got to get to bed. All right. Just this next level. A few minutes later, Jaden, you have got to get to bed. Okay. A little bit later, Jaden, I mean, all right, I'm going. A few minutes, this keeps going on. Jaden, don't make me count to 10. All right. And then she gets a phone call, and she's tied up for 45 minutes or an hour. She gets off the phone, and what's still over there? Jaden's still over there, and now mom blows her stack. Jaden, you better get up right now before I... And now what does Jaden do? Down goes the control, and he goes to bed. Why? Mom has trained Jaden to only respect instructions when she's yelling. See, he knows as long as we're not, you know, to red zone, orange zone, she doesn't mean it. She's not going to force it till she's mad. So he can keep ignoring it and ignoring until she blows it. And then as he goes up the stairs, mom goes, oh, I don't know why he does that. Well, Jaden probably knows why he does that. So what should mom do? I would suggest start with an apology. Has mom been handling this right? No. So Jaden, I want to talk to you. And I want to do better about something, and I want you to do better about something. I've been yelling at you and screaming at you, and I want to apologize. That's not what I should be doing. Do you like it when I yell at you? And Zane goes, no. He says, well, I intend to stop doing that, and I'm sorry I've been doing it. I don't want to yell at you anymore. Jaden, because he's not real well trained and respectful, he just goes, cool. And then Mom says, instead, here's what we're going to do in the future. I'm going to tell you one time what to do, and then it's your job to do it. I'm going to say it in a calm voice, and it's your job to do it. So instead of me yelling and screaming, I'm going to tell you in a calm voice, you'll do it, and that way you won't get a spanking, you won't be in trouble, and I won't yell at you. Show of hands, how many of you think that Jaden, he's heard these words, but is it going to make any difference that night? That's right. That was the correct show of hands. Yeah, Mom has explained this, but listen, Mom has trained Jaden for years to ignore instructions unless it's yelling. So even though she's explained this, it's like, you know, if you've trained your dog for years to do this, and you, it's going to take some training to get it changed. So that night, and Bertina, my wife, suggested put an extra step in there. Nobody likes to be interrupted right in the middle of something, you know. So it's like, Jaden, in 5 minutes, it's going to be bedtime, so you need to be winding up. Jaden's, okay. Few minutes later, Jaden, it's time to go to bed now. All right. Hey, what? Well, we're going to go over here and you're going to have to get a spanking. Why? Well, because you didn't do what I said. What does Jaden want to say? But you didn't scream. You didn't yell. And if he says that, she explains, that's right, remember we had to talk about this, you know, I'm not going to do that anymore. And she spanks Jaden. He goes to bed with a sore behind. Now the next night, how many people think that Jaden has completely got the message? Okay, if you raised your hand, you didn't have kids that had not been disciplined. Very good. So, yeah, she's going to have to do it again and again and again. But if she will keep being consistent, you know what Jaden's going to learn? He's going to learn to obey them. And so really, it's our choice. Do they never obey? Do they obey after you scream? Do they obey only after you say it over and over and over? Or do they obey on the first time to calm instructions? One time I was with a group of parents and I asked them, I said, I want you to boil down your best parenting advice to 3 words. And my favorite answer was one parent said, first time obedience. You know, isn't that good? So, and then you don't have to do this. Mistake number 8, fathers discouraging and provoking their children to wrath. What did Colossians 3 say? Fathers, provoke not your children that they be not discouraged. Ephesians 4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. Some of you, there's a large number of people here, so I imagine some of you grew up in the type of home I'm about to describe. There are some fathers who did not show much love to their children. And you either got criticism or nothing. If you did well at school, Dad didn't care. If you mowed the grass and you worked hard all afternoon, Dad doesn't care. Dad doesn't pay you much attention. Unless you messed up, and then you had Dad's attention. That's a hard home to grow up in. Don't let your children grow up in a home like that. I knew of a family, the father rejected his child when his child was an infant. Children want attention. Boys want attention from a father. Girls need the protection and the love of a father. And when it's not there, it can lead to a lot of problems, a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, and a lot of promiscuity. A lot of girls who are very loose and promiscuous are that way in part because their father didn't care about them, he wasn't there for them, he didn't love them, and there was a yearning in them for a man to pay attention to them. And when they're about 10 or 11 years old, they start learning that they can get men to notice them or older boys to notice them, and it leads to promiscuity. One of the causes of homosexuality is when there is not a father present and active and loving, and it leads to the child wanting that. This family that I'm thinking of that I started to tell you about, the boy ended up, the mother doesn't know if he's alive or dead, hasn't heard from him in years. He got involved in a very, very depraved level of homosexual lifestyle. When he was in a reform school where they had security officials that would, you know, secure the children when they were misbehaving, as a boy, he told his mom, he said, "Do you know why I act bad at school?" He says, "I do it so those men will hold me." There are some children that grow up in a home and they misbehave because it's the only way to get dad's attention. That's sad. And dads, if you have not been giving your kids attention, change that now. Give them attention. They're going to need some spankings, but not just spankings. Give them love. Play with them. Train them. Teach them. Love them. Let them know they're in a secure and loved environment. And don't expect talents beyond their capability. It's great. What, too many parents don't expect enough of children. That's the main problem today. But occasionally, somebody expects too much. You know, you always wanted to be an opera singer, and so your girl's going to be an opera singer. Well, you know what? She may be tone deaf. You know, or you were going to be a major league baseball pitcher. And, oh, you were a star in Little League and you did well in high school, but then nobody asked you to play college. And you never made the major leagues. And then one day the doctor said, "It's a boy!" And you went, and now you're going to try to live. And now you become that dad at the Little League game that makes everybody miserable and those type of things. Well, maybe you want him to be a linebacker, but, you know, he weighs 105, soaking wet. He's not going to be a linebacker, Dad. That's not going to happen. Maybe your child has an intellectual disability. Don't expect him to be the valedictorian. But you know what I've noticed about people who have children with certain disabilities? So often parents rise so well to that challenge, and they learn, they expect what that child can do. And they teach them to behave. They don't expect them to be the valedictorian, but they teach them to behave and that type of thing. So don't make your children frustrated because you're being unfair to them. You know what that's kind of like? You know, cattle ranch, you can have the electric fence out there, and so the cattle learn what? Don't go over there. This is safe. How content of a cow would you be on a ranch where the fence was moving all the time? You know, you just didn't know. It's like, where's Vince today? You know, start grazing on some clover and spat! Some children grow up in a home like that. You don't know which dad's coming home. Don't do that. Don't provoke them to wrath. Let's see if we can squeeze it. Yeah, I'll make this one really, really quick. Failing to parent with joy. No, let's stop on that one. We're coming right up on time to end. We'll pick up there tomorrow night. Thank you for your good attention. If you are here this evening and you need to respond to your Heavenly Father and to return to your Lord after going astray, won't you do so as we stand and sing?